I like to read in the book of Revelation. To me, the book of Revelation is one of the deepest books in the Bible. And yet, it has so much to offer if we're able to understand it. Let's just bow our heads together for just a few moments now. Collect our thoughts and see if we can get our minds in one channel tonight. And that is to concentrate upon the Word of God. So let's get our minds and our spirits settled, directed right upon the Word of God. Don't forget now, God is a spirit. Always remember, God is a spirit. And that if God is going to do anything for you, that your spirit will have to be yielded to Him and not to your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband and wife, or what you want to think or talk about. It has to be yielded unto God. God is a spirit. I want to say that again. A lot of unrest tonight. Minds are scattered. Children are restless. Satan's on the rampage. He does all of that to keep the moving of the Spirit away. So let's just settle down for a few moments now. Said, be still and know that I am God. I just want to talk to you just a little bit, and it depends on your attitude toward what I say and your reverence toward what I say as to whether you will get anything or as to what you will receive. Bible tells us that if you receive a prophet, in the name of a prophet, then you'll receive a prophet's reward. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, what do you mean when it says if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet? That means one thing. That means that you've got to believe that he's a prophet. Amen. When you receive him in the name of the word prophet, when you receive him as a prophet because he is a prophet, therefore, you receive him in the title or the name prophet. As a prophet and in the name of a prophet, which is in the name of the Lord Jesus, then you will receive his reward. If you cannot control your spirit, if you cannot direct your spirit, if you cannot make your spirit surrender to the Word of God and to the ministry and to the Spirit of God, then you do not have the Holy Ghost. You might have had an experience of some kind, but not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is reverent to the Word of God. The Bible tells us that a man that hath no control over his spirit, rather than being a Christian, he is like a city with a broken down wall. The devil comes in on him any time that he takes a notion. So then God commands us to be steadfast and unmovable. The Holy Spirit is very gentle, very caressing. You have to be very tender and very quiet and very reverent to receive anything from Him. If you are not reverent, not attentive, not quiet, cannot channel your thoughts and direct your attention toward the Lord Jesus, then you become the enemy of God. Remember that, young ladies, young men, boys and girls, elders. If you cannot direct your attention toward the minister and the Word of God, then you are the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the carnal mind is enmity with God. They that are in the carnal mind, which is the flesh, that is thinking their own thoughts, they cannot please God. You cannot think your own thoughts and be a Christian. You cannot think your own thoughts and be in the Spirit. The Bible commands us not to lean to our own thoughts. The Scriptures we're told not to lean to our own understanding. And our own understanding is our own thinking, our own thoughts, our own plans, our own ambitions, our own desires. And any time that you do that, you're automatically the enemy of God. That is a hard thing for people to get a hold of. That God is a spirit. And that every thought counts with God. With you, people as a whole, they don't even consider thoughts. They've not even progressed that far with all their scientific research. They don't even consider thoughts. They just consider what they do. They kill somebody, they pull them into court. If they do something, they pull them into court. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, God's ways is more strict than that. In the days of the laws of Moses, they thought it was too strict. When Jesus came, he said, if you think that's strict, said, let me tell you something else. He said, you just look on a woman to think the wrong way. He said, you've committed adultery already. He said, you just covet what your neighbor's got. And said, you're in trouble already. You just think the wrong thoughts. He said, for out of your heart comes forth evil thoughts of murder and hatred, covetousness, lying, all of these things. He said, this defiles a man. So he said, if you think Moses' laws are strict, so I want to explain to you the strictness of God. So tonight, brethren, we are told that every thought must be brought into subjection. Every thought. If you are not able to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, you do not have the Holy Ghost and you will not make it into the kingdom of God. You will not. You do not have it and you will not. If you think Moses' laws are strict, then think on what I said tonight. Think on what I said. If you cannot think holy thoughts, you cannot be part of His kingdom. Out of the heart proceedeth thoughts, Jesus said. They're one way or another. So then He said, cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, why do you tell us these things, Brother Pike? I tell you these things because this is what God requires of you. If God did not require it of you, I wouldn't tell it to you because it'd be a waste of my time and a waste of your time. But I tell you this because this is what God is expecting out of you. When you come into the sanctuary of God, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. I know that you're young. Our young fellas that sit over here on the left, they're always cutting up, all the time doing something. The devil's all the time got a hold of them one way or another. And it's an evil spirit to trouble me. And God said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. Someday they're going to pick some of these young fellas up. Their blood will be running out of their face or their body if they don't stop doing me like that. I haven't turned them over to God to do anything to them because I want to be merciful. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. But I have a number of them that comes in that constantly does it. But one day they're going to grieve me too much and I'm going to drop down on my knees in prayer one night. I'm going to turn them over into the hands of God and then it's going to be too bad for them. So I'm asking you not to do it, young fellas. Young girls, don't do it. When you come to Brother Pike's place of worship, be reverent, because it is a matter of life and death. Many people are dead because they did not believe that. It is a matter of life and death. When you enter into this sanctuary, it is a matter of life and death. Now you say, I don't believe it. That's all right. That's all right. I picked up a fellow spirit then and he didn't like what I said. But it doesn't matter. It is the truth. As a matter of fact, you've almost been dead yourself because you haven't reverenced it like you needed to. I'm telling you something. It's a matter of life and death when you come into this sanctuary. It's not like going to another sanctuary. And the reason for that is because day and night I cry to God. I weep before God day and night. And I talk to God day and night. And I ask Him to help you and to bless you and to bless the sanctuary. And bless the people that come here and keep it holy. And when a man talks to God and gives God his whole life, then the people that cross that man is in trouble. God has my whole life. I have no desire, no ambition, nothing but to please Him. So I love you and I want to help you. I teach our people to be very strict, very strict. You say, why, Brother Pike? Because your enemy, the devil, is a reality. And he's after you. You might not know because you can't see. You may not see spiritually. You might not think spiritually. You might just be a babe in Christ. And the shepherd is there to watch after the lambs. But folks, as I live before God, Satan is a reality. He's real. You might not be able to reach out and touch him. But he's more real than the person that you can reach out and touch. Satan is a spiritual power, a great power. And he's watching you. He's watching you just like a hawk would be sitting over here on a limb, watching a chicken to wait till you get into a place to where he can get you. He's watching you. And the very minute that you get into the wrong place, he'll get you. You might say, well, I don't believe it. A lot of people are in hell tonight that didn't believe it. There's numbers of people that was under my ministry that's in hell tonight because they didn't believe that when I told them. And you'll just be one more that'll add to the crowd because you'll be going in that direction because of unbelief. So I ask you tonight to believe. The Bible tells us when you come into the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give your opinion. Or it calls it the sacrifice of foods. So when you come, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. I want to talk with you, and I want to try to help you. Hand me that Bible of yours, brother, if you don't mind. I feel like the Lord would have me to read something here out of His Bible. The Lord is wanting to do something special for us. He's wanting to help us. But folks, we're going to have to come to reality in God. We're not playing. It don't mean just praying some. Somebody would say, well, you just don't know how much I pray. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Say, well, you just don't know how much I fast. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But you don't know, Brother Pike, how much I know about the Bible. That doesn't have anything to do with it. So see, all of that has exactly nothing to do with it. God is interested in your thoughts. Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you think as Christ? Do you meditate in His laws day and night? Do you live an overcoming life? Are you bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ? If not, you're missing the mark. Doesn't matter. You might go out and you might fast 8 or 10 days. That's good. But then if you think your own thoughts when you come off of it, that's no good. If you pray for 2 solid days and you come out and you begin to think your own thoughts, you've missed the mark. God wants every day, every thought, every hour, every minute to meditate in His laws day and night. That's all it will do. That's all it will do. If you have any other time for anything else, then you've missed the mark. Now, I'm talking about the perfect man. I'm talking about 100-fold in the Lord Jesus. I want to read from the 3rd chapter of Ezekiel before we go into anything concerning Revelation at all. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. I want you to notice, folks, God is speaking about His Word. God is concerned about His Word now. Moreover, He said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and He caused me to eat that roll. And He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now I want you to notice that. If they will not hear the warning of the prophet and go in error, then they will die in their sins. Another thing, the Spirit of God can do strange things. I want you to notice this. I come here, and a lot of times I don't move according to the way that you feel that I should move. I may stand here for 3 or 4 minutes, and I notice that when I come up here, if I don't immediately start moving and doing something and demonstrating, that you get disturbed and you feel like nothing is taking place. But the Bible said here, that God picked up this prophet and took him in the heat of his spirit, moved him over into another place and sat him down, and for 7 long days he did not speak. And then God said to him, I will cause thy tongue to cleave to the root of thy mouth, that thou mightest not be a reprover to these people, for they are a rebellious people, and I will cause thy mouth to be so that you cannot tell them of their sins and of their wrongs. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When God gets to the place to where he is so grieved that he will give the preacher, we say spiritual lockjaw, to where he cannot reprove you of your sins, and you're in trouble. How many of you know that? A lot of people say, I don't want to hear that preacher say this. I wish that preacher wouldn't say this or that to me. But I'll tell you, the best thing that ever happened to you is when a preacher comes to say something to you. David said, let the righteous smite me. And any time a preacher comes to reprove you, though it might cut you deep down in your heart, you just say, hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. And when the preacher preaches from the pulpit, and when the thing cuts across your spirit and cuts across your nature, don't retaliate in your spirit. Don't be rebellious in your thinking, for you will grieve God and God will cut you off. But be thankful to God and submit yourself. A few days ago, I was thinking in my heart. I said, Lord, I have reproved these people many times, but I am beginning to feel that I'm not to reprove them as I have in the past. I want you to hear this, folks. I said, I've reproved them many times, and there will still be reproved that will be coming. But I said within my heart, I said, as little children, I have led them, Lord, and I have reproved them. I have taught them the Word of God. And I said, Lord, I feel that they needed that. But I said, now they're growing up. They're not little children anymore, but they're beginning to understand the knowledge of God and the things of God. And I said, Lord, they're beginning to know right from wrong. And they know when a spirit is on them, whereas in the past they did not. People that I've taught, many of them in the past, they knew nothing of spirits. They did not know when a spirit was upon them. And therefore God was indebted to send a preacher to tell them. But folks,
you're beginning to know. You're beginning to understand. And I want you to know this, that numbers of times as of late, I pass by you, and I see a spirit on you, and I see your spirit out of sorts. But I don't reprove you, I just go right on by. Are you listening to me? Whereas before, I didn't do that. When your spirit was out of tune, I would stand there in the midst of the brethren and reprove you. Many of you have the feeling that you're doing so much better because I don't reprove you. But that isn't it. You know better. It's time that you begin to do better. You understand? A man will reprove his wife because he loves her. And she will chide with him. And she won't like it. But after a while, he'll get so weary that he'll lose his concern for her. He'll lose his love for her. And he'll stop chiding with her and stop correcting her. And she'll feel everything is just fine. But it isn't. It could be worse than ever. Because he has lost his interest in her to the extent that he's not going to reprove her because he knows that she's not going to obey. That's exactly what happened between God and Israel. God sent prophets to them and he said, you belong to me. You're married to me. And I don't want you to do this. And I'm sending my mouthpiece. I'm sending Moses. I'm sending Ezekiel. I'm sending Elijah. I'm sending all of the prophets to you. I'm sending you wise men. And I want you to repent and do right, God said. Because you're mine, and I want you to come to me, and I want you to honor me, and I want you to be obedient to me because I love you. You belong to me. But the Bible said, rising up early in the morning till tonight, I sent people unto you. He said, but you never heeded what I said. You never obeyed what I said. And he said, you played the harlot under every green tree, and you darted about with your lovers. And you followed after the things that they had to offer. But I had you. You belong to me. And God said, now I'm through, Israel. I'm through. When I bring you back, Israel, then you will listen to me. He said, if thou hadst known the day of thy visitation, then God could have blessed you. But now your houses are left unto you desolate until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I tell you something tonight, people of God. The people of America, God is turning his back on them. Somebody would say, I don't believe that. I've seen these little signs, they put them on the car, and they say, love America or leave it. I can't love it in the condition it's in, so I left it and I went on to glory. The Bible said, God has chosen me out of this world. And hid me with Christ and God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all things. God cannot love her in that kind of condition. The preachers are standing in the pulpit and they're lying to the people. And they say, God loves you, God loves you. But the Bible said, woe unto that man that calls evil good. God doesn't love you. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. And he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. I'll tell you, America is gone. God is turning his back on America because she turned her back on him. God said, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He said, if you resist me, I'll resist you. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? I want to draw nigh to him. He said, to humble your heart. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that God may lift you up. Folks, let me tell you tonight, God wants to love you. God wants to help you, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to draw nigh to God. You say, Brother Pike, how can I do that? By bringing every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ. By swearing to your own hurt, getting your feelings out of the way, forgetting about what you think about it, how you feel about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it and how you feel about it. You come into the house of God and you sit there and you judge. You judge God's servants. You judge the preacher. You judge the situation. You judge the service. And God said that you're not to judge. God never made you a judge. Can't you just picture yourself going into the courthouse? You get into the courthouse and you judge the jewelry and you judge the people and you judge the judge. But I want to ask you one thing. When you get through doing all of that, how much good has it done you? What the judge is going to say, he's going to say. And what the judge says is going to come to pass. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And all of your judgment is vanity. So then the Bible said, when you come into the house of God, judgment begins at the house of God. Whosoever sins, the minister remits, shall be remitted. Whosoever sins, the minister retains, shall be retained. So then, God did not make us a judge to come in and judge the situation. But he made the minister a judge to judge you with righteous judgment beginning at the house of God. To either remit your sins or to bind your sins to you, my brother. So then, what we need to do is to turn ourselves over into the hands of God. Loose our spirits from the bondage of this flesh and of reasoning and get away from it and quit leaning to our own understanding. Hallelujah. And when we do that, the Holy Ghost will come down and the Spirit of God will come down because God is a spirit. As long as you sit with hard faces, hard attitudes and stubbornness and rebellion and contrariness and reasoning, God will never move in your midst. But when you come like humble little sheep that believe that you don't know nothing about nothing, but you're just coming to hear from God, and you come there with all respect and all reverence, then God who is a spirit, God who is a dove, God who is righteous will come into the congregation, and God in his meekness and God in his purity and virtue will move over the congregation. And you'll begin to feel his presence as it comes down upon you. The more you yield your spirit, the more you draw nigh unto him. When the preacher's preaching, don't judge the preacher, but sit there and submit yourself to the preacher. Sit there and surrender yourself. The Bible said, submit yourself unto him as those that watch for your soul, and submit yourself unto your brother, one to another. Swear it to your own hurt. You've got to do that. I tell you, man is made in such a way that he cannot submit unless he swallows down. He's going to have to swallow old Seth down. He's going to have to swear to his own hurt because everybody feels that they've got the answer. But I want you to know that you haven't got it tonight, but I've got it. I've got it. Hallelujah. I said, I've got it. You haven't got it, but I've got it. Oh, I know who you are now, Brother Pike. I know what you are now. You're a lifted up fellow. Lifted up by him, I've been caught away. Hallelujah. Amen. For them that are listening on the tape, I'm holding the Bible. That's why I said I got it. Hallelujah. I've got it in my heart. Amen. We've got Christ in our heart. And tonight, if you're born to the Spirit of God and born to the Word of God, then you've got it. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, you've not got it. So why should you judge? The fact that you judge proves that you haven't got it. If you had it, you'd be humble. You'd be submissive. You'd be sweet. You sit there and when the preacher's preaching, you yield your heart and spirit to God. You turn your faith over to the hands of God. And all the time that preacher's preaching and he's killing out that old outer self, that inner self is getting close to God. Did you know the only way to get your inner self in touch with God is to kill your outer self? Did you know the only way that you can get to God is to come past that flaming cherub? And when you come past that flaming cherub, that's the minister. That's the minister of God that sets at the gate, the flaming cherub. I make my ministers a flame of fire. And they're set there to execute judgment upon them and do evil. He's a flame of fire and he's guarding the garden. And he's sitting there. If you get past him, you're going to run into the sword. And if you let that old outer self yield, let that old outer self die and swallow down and realize that God is everything, you'll go right past that flaming sword, right on in, and you'll leave that old carcass buried out yonder in Jordan, right there buried in the water, and that inner self will resurrect and walk right through the walls. The walls of resistance will just fade away. And you'll walk right on through those walls of resistance and go right on into that garden. Hallelujah. Jesus is the door. said, I'm the door. No man can come into the Spirit but by me. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So then, a lot of times God doesn't work like we think that He works. Supposing tonight that came a fellow sweeping through the door. And all of a sudden he just swept in here and sat down on the front here. And you couldn't talk to him. You couldn't get him to say anything. You'd say, where did that dummy come from? Who is that crazy feller? Go up there and get him out of the sanctuary. Something's wrong with him. And for 7 long days, he just sat there and sat there and sat there. And then after you judged him and thought he was everything that was bad, he stood upon his feet and said, thus saith the Lord. And the power and the judgment of God begin to fall. See, you don't know. Like God, He sent me to cities, and sometimes I'd stay there for weeks. Just sit there. Sit there. Other evangelists would come through, and sometimes they'd see me, and they'd get nervous. They'd say, I don't see how you do it. Boy, I got to be in revival. I got to have some money. I wasn't worried about that. You know why? Because God told me to go there. I remember in a place, you've heard me tell it, God said, go to this church. I went there, and I took my little family. And for about 3 days, I slept on the floor. Somebody said, well, why didn't you rent a motel? Some of them came by nervous. Said, Brother Pike, you can't do that. You can't do that. They knew God was in our life. They were troubled. One brother said, Brother Pike, every time you come to town, says, there's a brother over yonder, he just about goes all to pieces. He said, he gets nervous. He said, he knows something's going on when God sends you up here. Now, but the thing is, I stayed there. He said, but you can't do it, Brother Pike. You can't. I'll rent you a motel. I said, no, God said, stay here. I said, I got the money to rent a motel with. God didn't send me there without any money. I had some money. But God said, stay there. And I stayed there. God does funny things, folks, strange things. Today, God told me to walk out into the waters, go over to the other side. And He apparently told you the same thing because the whole stream of you came over. That was a foolish thing. If the papers that had known about that, they'd had 2 or 3 reporters out there shooting pictures, giving a write-up, and they'd say, what's this strange phenomenon? There's dozens and dozens of families walking out across the water, just streaming out through there. What's the matter with these people? God does strange things. Hallelujah. He said you'll be a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Peculiar. I guess I act kind of peculiar. You act kind of peculiar. But you're not peculiar to God. You're just peculiar to the world. Zealous of good works. Them some peculiar women out there. Yeah. Say they are. Yeah. You ever seen them with them long dresses? Peculiar folks. Peculiar. Yeah, peculiar. They want to be a lady. Nothing peculiar about that. Yeah. And them men, you could start talking to them men about the wrong thing. Well, they won't listen to you. They don't want to joke with you. They don't want to hear about the things of the world. They want to talk about Jesus. Peculiar folks. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Hallelujah. All the way over in the land of Palestine. When old brother David over there, just on this last trip, or this trip we went to Palestine, when he looked and he said, Brother Pike, I've never seen people like your people. He said, they're holy people. God said in the Word, said, and my people, in that day they shall be few, so few, that even a child shall number them. Said, but they that are left in Israel shall be called holy. That's why we were down to the Jordan today. That's why we was down to the muddy river today. Because today is Easter. Today represents the first fruits. We're the first fruits of this move. God's bringing it out. The first fruits is coming forth from the dead and the careless and the unconcerned. The church has been dead. Humanity has been dead. God's bringing forth the first fruit. We're His membership, His body. bringing every thought into subjection, bringing everything into subjection to God. The first fruits. God's got to have a first fruit. Got to be a first church. How many believe that? Ain't you glad you belong to the first church? So you don't have to take the tuck head. You're in the first church. All right. So then God does peculiar things. That fella sat there for 7 days. That was kind of peculiar. But he's a peculiar God. You know, you say, well, what's peculiar about him? He's peculiar in that he does what he wants to when he gets ready. And people don't like that. That's peculiar because they'd like to do what they want to when they get ready. So he's peculiar. He has his way in the good. He has his way in the evil. He creates the good. He creates the evil. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He prepares a man's heart. I watched today as we started across that muddy river. And I looked back, and on that high place back there, just like a mountain, there stood that little Jewish brother, his heart leaping and trying to get out there with us. But God had fixed it so to where he'd have to stand there to fulfill his part of the body. And I looked back, and it was a perfect, beautiful thing of Moses standing there looking over the Canaan land, watching the children go over, but he couldn't go in. That's right. Got out there and started the baptizing, and somebody came by in an automobile and thought they'd be real smart. You know, they call them horns trumpets, you know. And so he sat down on his trumpet while he was baptizing. I thought, that's just right. The trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. The first fruits of them that slept. I feel good, don't you? Everything that Satan does only adds to what God's already done. So then I thought it was so wonderful. I watched the beautiful thing that was taking place. A number of years ago in Tucson, Arizona, about the time that our brother Taylor came to be with us, there I had a vision. And in that vision, I had a market. And it was an open market. And I kept this market open all day, and toward the night, I put up the chain to keep the people out. I put the chain up. Then I went over to Olive Branch, Mississippi. And there at a tabernacle, I had another vision. This vision, I put a chain up at the door of the tabernacle. When I did, it wasn't nighttime, but the fireworks, as we say, begin to come, the judgment. For a long time, I didn't understand. And then God began to speak to me. And he began to try to show me what was taking place. And I said that this meeting in Missouri had to do with the closing of the days of the Gentiles. And that with the closing of the days of the Gentile, that meant the church would be sealed in. That it meant the resurrection of the dead. And it meant God turning back to the Jews. And that with the resurrection of the dead, that it was Jesus, the man child, being caught up. The first fruits. So it was that we put up those chains on a Saturday. And while those chains was going up, David Paul, that represents the man child, went up in a plane from Stone Mountain. You follow me? Stone Mountain, it's a headstone. And so the headstone, the capstone, went up from Stone Mountain. The man child being caught up, which means that the church, the membership of the body of Christ, the true membership, has been caught up into the mind of Christ, into the revelation. And the chains went up. When I had the vision, I didn't have a market. But I noticed that down here is the market. And God is my witness, the reason I put those chains up. I've been thinking, Lord, I need something up for the protection of the market so that somebody just can't run in and rob them down there. So I put the chains up for the market. The same way I had the vision in Tucson. And then I had him to put a chain up at the doorway of the church, which is the gates, just like it was at the tabernacle. Folks, it's late. It's late. In Tucson, Arizona, in the night, God got me up, and I walked outside, had my shoes off. Walked outside, stood out there on those little old sharp stones, and I was looking away to heaven, and I saw the moon. And I saw it fading away, and the light was just about gone. And I saw just a tiny bit of the light of the moon left. And something said to me that that's just how near it is to the time of the light of the church going out completely. And now here we are over here. Over here in little Bethlehem where a child was to be born. Here in little Bethlehem, here we are over here. Right here at the very time that it is commemorated in the vision concerning the angel of God that came to us in Florida. And when the Lord came and put the ring on our finger and showed us how Brother Branham's death. Commemorating even today as I stood in the water and read how that in the resurrection it was as though the sun shined within his strength. And how that over here at the place we'd been baptizing, that God allowed the great sunlight or the phenomenon or whatever it was to come down upon us and completely do away with our image almost altogether, and nothing was seen but the light. Because I had spoken of the translation of the church and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what it was. The revelation shows that the strange phenomenon was exactly what God had told me and was so perfectly timed, so beautifully brought about, until it's a great, outstanding thing. I'm glad. Some of you don't believe it, but I'm glad. Hallelujah. You know, there's one thing I'm glad of. When a man is rich and he's got a pocket full, you can say, nay, nay. But he says, that's all right. Just keeps right on going. Hallelujah. When you come to know this and you come to see this and you come acquainted with him, like the vision when I was in heaven and I saw those things and I said, folks, do you see? They didn't see, but I saw. I saw. Like the vision when I stood there with my hands stretched out. And there stood in the heavens as Jesus Christ himself. With my hands stretched out and saying, come unto me all ye that labor. And I looked and they were coming unto me. And they were coming unto me. And Brother Gonzalez was right at the front, higher than any of them. Done got up there higher than any of them. Some of the others was following. Like the vision the other night when I was praying and he came up back of me. The Lord Jesus come up back of me. When he got back of me, he fell over on me like that and caught me. And dropped his head down on my shoulders. Spoke to me. Folks, it's real. I have fellowship with him. I've got a fellowship with him. I have more fellowship with him than I do with you. He believes more than you believe. Hallelujah. And I believe in him. And I believe in his way and in his word. And we have fellowship one with another. For if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. I have fellowship with him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful tonight because I believe. I see something taking place that has never taken place before. Down in Jeffersonville, Indiana, when we went over to eat with Sister Wright, I watched as we drove out. We come to one turn and it said Recreation Unlimited. Come to another turn, it said Recreation Unlimited. Come to another turn, it said, Recreation Unlimited. And the Lord told me to look at that. And I looked at it and I said, Recreation, Recreation. He said, Recreation. Did you know that that word is recreation? And it's just pronounced Recreation. Recreation Unlimited. And God said to me, He said, this is where William Branham talked about the squirrels when the woman believed it. Said recreation, speaking things into existence, recreation unlimited. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? God was doing something like down at the river today when we got over to one place and we couldn't baptize. And somebody said, look at that little writings up there and on the bridge. It said Jephthah. And then I thought about what happened the other day when we went down to the spoken word. We drove up down to the spoken word and I was looking for somebody. And nobody was there. And I started to say to Brother Lamar, well, Brother Lamar, there's nobody here. And something inside of me said, it's not here. I said to myself, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say there's nobody here. But something said, it's not here. So I thought about that today when we started to look down there for a place to baptize. You know, for the resurrection of the dead. Somebody said, Jeff. And I thought about it. I said, we can't baptize here. It's not here. And it was brought back to me. It's not here. But where we went, it was. Where we went, it was. So then, God is doing something. What is He doing, Brother Pike? Some foolish, abased things of the world to confound some of my smart congregation that thinks they've got the answer. Hallelujah. Thank God for these foolish people that run along with me. Thank God for the foolish and abased that don't try to figure it out. That just believe and go on. So then a wonderful thing is taking place tonight. I'm glad that I'm part of it. I come here and I feed you just a little tad of what He gives me a whole lot of. You know why? Because I take a few minutes with you. And I feel your spirit begin to drop. Jesus said, could you not watch 1 hour? You feed, you get enough, that's it. You get a meal, that's it. So you go on your way. But when you leave, I just turn over and I lock the freezer back because I got a whole freezer full. And you get hungry again, we'll pull out a little more. God's good, ain't He? Hallelujah. Bobby says, I feel good, good, good. I notice even little Georgia today. He was going around today saying, I feel good, good, good. Hallelujah. So then it's wonderful to me, the song, It's Like Heaven to Me. I want you to stand with me. There's a few more things I wanted to say, but I felt the tide falling. So I'd better stop. How wonderful to be able to look out and see the glorious things of God. To know that God is doing something and that He's walking off and leaving some of you. He's leaving you. He's walking off leaving you. He is closing the doors to the Gentile and separating Himself from you because you would not any of Him. So He's leaving you. But the others, He's taking with Him. He's taking with Him. The midnight cry is here. The midnight cry is here. And I say to you again, at the midnight cry, all of the virgins was asleep. You like to say, well, Brother Pike, I understand this thing and I've got it figured out. And I'm not asleep, but the Bible said they were asleep. But I read to you tonight, God said, Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman upon the wall. At midnight, the watchman on the wall gave the cry. In the Old Testament, they had their big walls. And they had men that were watchmen on the wall. And while the others slept, the watchmen had to watch. And if the enemy approached the walls, they gave the cry, the battle cry. And so then they are asleep. All was asleep. But then at the midnight cry, they all awoke. Everyone arose. But some of them did not have the oil. And I say this to you again. I know that some of you do not believe it. But the charismatic move is the foolish virgins. The charismatic move is the foolish virgins. They will go into the papacy church. They will head up in the Roman powers and become part of the beast's body. You listen to me. The charismatic move will become very religious, but not holy. Are you listening? Very religious, but not holy. Now listen real close. We are living in the days of grace. In the days of grace, you can feel the Spirit. In the days of grace, you can shout. In the days of grace, you can speak in tongues. Are you listening? In the days of grace, you can believe. Folks, you can believe in the days of grace. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, all you've got to do is believe, because it's written in the Holy Scriptures that if you believe, you'll be saved. But I want to tell you again that if all it takes to save a man is believing, then you're going to have a visitor in heaven that you didn't expect to be there. His name is Satan. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible said if you believe there's one God, then you do well. The devil also is a oneness. Are you listening? He believes in one God. He is a believer. He believes in one God. Are you listening? He believes in one God. Somebody say, I'm Jesus' name, Brother Pike. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. That makes me a candidate for heaven. I believe in one God. But the Bible said the devil believes in one God. It don't make any difference just because you believe in one God or three gods or two gods. That has nothing to do with it. The Bible said the devil is a believer. Are you listening? Satan is a believer. His followers are believers. His followers belong to the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian and the Catholic and the Pentecostal churches. His followers belong to the charismatic. His followers belong to what is called the Jesus name churches. They belong to the Catholic church. Believers. The devil works his miracles by believing. Did you know that? Did you know there's lying signs and wonders? And just hold on and simmer down, because I'm not going to stop yet. If you have to go, God bless you. I love you. We thank God for you being here. But I'm not fixing to close. I've got a few more minutes, so just be patient. All right, now, believers, you follow me? Believers, we are living in the day of believers. The foolish virgins are believers. But they are not Christians. Are you listening? They are not Christians. They're believers. You can shout, speak in tongues, prophesy. And they said, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you. You're workers of iniquity. That's where it is so close it would deceive the elect if it was possible, because you can be a believer and die and go to hell. Paul said in the 19th chapter of Acts, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you have not his Spirit, you are none of his. It takes more than just believing. You've got to live a holy, unadulterated life. It's going to take holiness. God is the Spirit of holiness. That all is holiness. That charismatic move knows nothing about holiness. Hallelujah. God is the Spirit of holiness. And Paul said, I serve him. And the beauty of holiness. That's why the papacy of Rome says he's God's holiness. He's not God's holiness. There's only one holiness. That's God. It's going to take holiness. As the old preacher used to preach, it's holiness or it's hell. So then the believers will do all the religious things, but they won't be holy. But the Bible said God's people would be holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. In the millennium, it'll be holiness unto the Lord. So that's the difference, folks. The foolish virgins are rising up at this midnight cry. And they're learning that the Pentecostal people did have something, and they're trying to get in by speaking in tongues. But it won't work. The church is sealed in. The body is sealed in. They've got the all, and the others are the foolish virgins that's running after it. And the revelation has translated the church out, and they're gone in the rapture. And the others is running to and fro looking for somebody that sails all while we're sealed in. And we're right on the verge of the closing of the great Noah. You love the Lord? How do you believe that's the truth? That is the truth. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I thank you for your kindness, for listening, for being patient, and I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I do not lie to you. I tell you the truth. If you do not believe that I'm telling you the truth, check the Bible. Take the Bible. The Bible says search the scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life. He said, search the scriptures. He was talking to the Jews. Go back in the Old Testament and look, he said. He said, you folks think you've got eternal life. He said, go back and search some scriptures. He said, them scriptures testify of me. Isn't that right? He said, when the prophets spoke, they testify of me. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. What? The scriptures. They testify of him. If we are the Word made flesh, then we testify of him. What is the Holy Ghost? He's the Spirit of the Word. You know, how do you believe that Jesus was the Word? And how do you believe that the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of the Word? And how do you believe if you got the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he testifies of the Word? In deed, in word, in thought, because he is the Word. I go away, but I come again. I go away as a natural man, but I come again as a quickening spirit. You shall see me, the world shall not see me. I shall be in you. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sing it again, will you? Oh, I'm long for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. Sing it with me. Who will come and take me to my home up the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. While we sing that again, I'd like for you to gather around the altar while we sing that. And tonight, being Easter, I'd like to make a rededication tonight, wouldn't you? And I know you're tired, and I know you're weary, and I appreciate you so very much. God bless you. But like Hezekiah, I say this so often, he gave just a little time to God, and God added 15 long years to his life. Isn't that wonderful? Tonight, as we gather here, wonderful people of God, great women, great men. Solomon said, how can I speak to this so great a people? Somebody said Solomon was so great. So he was. But as he looked at God's people, he knew where greatness was. He didn't consider his greatness. His wisdom made him to know where greatness was. And he said, how can I speak to this so great a people? For who's qualified to address God's Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're playing a game. I'm not playing a game. How can you speak to gods? If I was speaking to human beings, that would be no trouble. But when you speak to gods, gods, people that will never die, people that will live eternally, people that have all knowledge in heaven and earth, people that own the rivers and the streams and the ocean and the stars and the planets and everything therein. When you speak to a people like that, what do? How do you address them? In what manner can you confer with them? How can I speak to so great a people? The prophet of old, when God said, go tell these people. He said, I'm but a child. I'm but a child. God said, I'll give you the words to say. Oh my, what a day, what a time. At last, we're on the other side of Calvary. Our troubles are behind us. At last, our troubles are behind us, folks. At last, death is no more. Death is swallowed up in victory. At last, death is behind us. Sorrow and heartaches is behind us. All is past and we passed over. Hallelujah! Having passed over from death unto life. Well, I feel good, don't you? Having passed from death unto life. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, think of all of the many hundreds and thousands of people that have never heard this. How can you make a statement like that? Because there has to be some first fruits. First fruits. Hallelujah. We're the first fruits. God has chosen us to be the first fruits of them that slept to bring us forth. I'll tell you what, that makes me feel good. Amen. That makes me feel good. Hallelujah. If you believe what I feel and believe what I believe, you're bound to feel good. If you don't feel good, that's because you just haven't, well, you just don't believe what I'm saying. You just haven't gotten inside of this thing and just haven't seen it, because you couldn't possibly see this and not feel good. Who could know that they did not have to die and not feel good? When people have for many hundreds and thousands of years sought for a remedy so that they could continue to live and have not been able to find it, and then we know that we've passed from death unto life, I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe that Jesus' words are eternal and settled in heaven? I want to see your hand. How many believe there's spirit and life? How many believe that when he said that we pass from death unto life, that he meant every word of it? How many believe that it was real when he said it? How many believe that he was God when he said it? That was God's word. God's word said, let there be an Al Gonzalez, and there was an Al Gonzalez. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be a Brother Bill, and there was a Brother Bill. Hallelujah. And then God's word said to you and I, you pass from death unto life. You pass from it. If God's word said, let there be a Brother Bill, and there's a Brother Bill, then when God's word said, you have passed from death unto life, then we pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. I want to sing that little chorus, cross over to the other side of Jordan, can we? Give me a key, sister. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led, no longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt's bondage free. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Sing it again. Cross over to the other side of Jordan.